Hey, we're on a series of lessons on Sunday morning called Stronger. Come on, look at your neighbor and say Stronger. Come on, just go ahead and bow up and flex up a little bit with him. Come on, just do a little bit to him. Say, look at me. Come on, tell your neighbor, look at me. I'm getting stronger. Ron's back there. Way to go, Ron. You about made me fall over back here looking at you, man. I'm telling you. Ron's back there doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger or something back there. Jesus. Man, about made me fall off the platform here. Our key scripture is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Would you look over there? If you don't have a Bible, we've got it on your screen here. Ephesians 6, 10. I want to look at it from the Amplified Bible. What I want to do is I'm going to read you three scriptures in a row, talk about them, then we'll come back to Ephesians 10 and look at it one more time. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, here's our go-to scripture. Paul says this, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might supplies. Notice that again, or provides. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that union. Be empowered, notice, through your union with Him. We talked about that the union that you have with Christ is vitally important. That the union that came to you when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the devil will try to separate you from that union. That union involves, really, we found two scriptures or two key points with the word grace and the word righteousness. You're going to reign in life, Romans 5:17 says, through the gift of righteousness. It talks about, through grace and the gift of righteousness. So you're going to reign in life, you're going to rule in life by understanding grace. It's not according to your works. It's not according to your ability. It's according to who He is that you're going to rule and reign. Grace is a free gift. It's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. He wants you to win regardless of what you've done or not. It's not based on works. And righteousness simply means you have the ability to stand right before God, not based on anything you've done, but based on who you believe, Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. So the devil will try to fight you at that union. But it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. So we kind of been hanging out here for the last couple of weeks. We're going to hang out here today as well, and then kind of dovetail again as we kind of we'll broker these couple thoughts of the last couple weeks, and we'll kind of build. But if you weren't with us the last couple weeks, let me just kind of summarize and get us all back on the same page. So notice that phrase there in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord. Come on, say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. Now that to me kind of sounds like a command. That just doesn't seem to me like a suggestion. It just says to me when I read, I don't know how you read the Bible, but if I were you, I'd read the Bible sort of kind of like this. If you read it and it says, in conclusion, okay, in conclusion, so you're wrapping up what you're saying, Apostle Paul, be strong in the Lord, okay? So be strong in the Lord, Gary. Be strong in the Lord, Gary. Be strong in the Lord, Gary. Gary, be strong in the Lord. Gary, where are you weak? Gary, be strong in the Lord in the area of your weakness. Wherever that is, God wants me to be strong. How am I going to be strong? I'm going to be empowered through my union with Him. How's that going to happen? I'm going to draw my strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. When I'm weak, then I'm going to be strong. He's going to keep providing strength, boundless might. Come on, everybody, boundless might. Come on, I got a shot of B12 all the time, boundless might. Come on, I got a Jamba Juice energy drink. Come on, somebody, come on, everybody. I got a triple espresso with some mocha frappuccino wasabi. I don't know what you got going, but just drink it. Come on, boundless might supplies. Now, where it says be strong in the Lord, we've been camped around here because this is why this is important. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? I know the books of the Bible. I come to church. I do good things for grandma. What does be strong in the Lord mean? Well, notice what it says in Revelation 19:13. Revelation 19:13 says this. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Now, the person who wrote Revelation 19 is the same person who we read last week wrote the Gospel of John. We'll read about him again in a moment. It is the person called John, the disciple called John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, the one who laid on Jesus' chest at the very end before Judas betrayed him. There were the 12, then there was Peter, James, and John, the three, the inner circle, but then there was John who laid on the chest of Jesus. He was the closest out of all the disciples. And he writes in the book of Revelation that there's this person that he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So there's this person in heaven who's called the Word of God. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. John says there's a person in heaven called the Word of God. John 1, verse 1 and 2. Notice what it says. We read this last week. John 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. Was the Word? I thought the Word was this thing here called the Bible. I thought it was this thing on my phone that I got all these translations called the Word. I thought that's what it was. It is, but there's this one called the Living Word. The Living Word is a person. And the person has a name, and his name, come on, fill in the blank, is Jesus. Is Jesus. Is Jesus. Come on, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. So John, what he's doing, the writer of the book of John and the writer of the book of Revelation is personifying, we could say, personifying this thing called the Word, that the Word is called a person, and this person's name is Jesus. So notice on the screen, if you missed it last week, here it is. Get your phone out, take a picture of it, tweet it, put it on Instagram, tell all your friends. Here it is. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the Word. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the Word. He didn't say be strong in church attendance, although that would be good. He didn't say be strong in just serving, although that's part of it. That's cool. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in the Word. You cannot be strong in the Lord if you are not strong in His Word. The only way you're going to be able to stand against the attacks and the strategies and the schemes of the devil is that you equate being strong with the Lord, being strong in the Word. It's not that you got saved one time. My life got turned around. I say when I was 8 years old, I walked the aisle of this little Baptist church and I gave my heart to Jesus. That was the beginning, but it really didn't do me much good because I lived like hell for the next 12 years. But something happened when I was 20 years old, went to a church like this, and I kept hearing the message. My mom and dad drug me to church all the time, had to go to church. If you live at home, you go to church. If you don't want to go to church, go find your own place to live. Go buy your own clothes. Go sleep in your own house. Come on, somebody. Thank God for some good parents with some backbones, I bet. And so I was always at church. It had to be a church. And so I kept hearing and hearing and hearing, and finally it penetrated my heart. So I get to understand that there's a connection between Jesus and the Word. I got to understand that if I'm going to make it in life, I've got to have a relationship with God through the Word. I'm only going to know God through His Word. You're only going to have a relationship that's connected and growing and changing in your life by how much time you are spending in His Word. He and His Word are one. So to be strong in the Lord is to be strong in His Word. Come on, say that out loud. Will you? I think we got it back there. Come on, let's put it up there one more time. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in His Word. Come on, say it one more time. To be strong in the Lord is to be strong in His Word. Let's give you a definition of what strong means. We found it out a couple weeks ago. Notice definition of strong. It means confident. It means bold. It means undaunted. It means fearless. So if you're going to be strong in something, it means you're confident, you're bold, you're undaunted, and you're fearless. So notice we put this in our definition. Be strong in the Lord. Be confident in the Lord. Be bold in the Lord. Be undaunted in the Lord. Be fearless in the Lord. But now let's put the definition with the word. Be confident in the Word. Be bold in the Word. Be undaunted in the Word. Be fearless in the Word. Same thing. Same thing. So based on our definition from Ephesians, the scripture from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, that Paul says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with Him, draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Based on that, those four specific points, notice again on the screen. Be strong in the Word. Be strong in the Word. We could fill in the blank from the Lord to the word Word. Next, be empowered through your union with the Word. Your empowerment in life is going to come directly by your connection with the Word, your union with the Word. Thirdly, draw your strength from the Word. You don't have to draw your strength from a person. You draw your strength from the Word. Lastly, that strength which the Word's boundless might provides. It's got unending might for you in every season of your life. You've gone through a tough time, the Word's got power for you. You've gone through a mountaintop time, the Word will keep you humble. Come on, somebody. The Word's got everything you need. So the key for us, as we asked last week, it was this thought. Can I get stronger in the Word? Is there kind of like a cap? Can I keep being stronger in the Word? Well, I think that we all know that we can keep growing and getting stronger in the Word. And here's how. The Bible says in the book of Romans that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you cut off the supply of hearing the Word of God, you cut off the supply of you becoming strong. You cut off your supply. So if you say, I haven't got time to hear the Word of God, what you're saying is, I plan on getting weaker. You cut off the supply, I haven't got time to go to church. The person says, you know, I ain't got time to go to church, I'm just too busy. Then what you're saying, what the person is saying is, I plan on getting weaker. Personally, in my marriage, in my relationships, in me knowing God, in me hearing God's voice, I plan on shriveling. I plan on being the shriveling man. The older I get, the smaller I'm going to get, the weaker I'm going to get, the less influential I'm going to get, the madder I'm going to get, the angrier I'm going to get, the nastier I'm going to get. You haven't seen nasty yet. You wait till I'm 80. Why? Because a person says, like, well, I'm not going to hear. I just decided I'm not going to hear the Word of God. So if this is new to you, what we have found from the Word of God in specifically the New Testament, as Jesus starts talking to us in parables, Jesus uses the parable concerning the Word is like seed. S-E-E-D. Seed. Seed. He talked about all kinds of parables with that analogy. And we looked at it last week concerning this one specifically. And we'll go back to it and we'll just make some points about it again. But the Bible is called seed, we found out. One translation says it's incorruptible seed. Another translation says it's everlasting seed. Another translation says it's life-giving seed. And one more says it's enduring seed. It's never gonna go away. So when you hear the Word of God, you read the Word of God, what's going on right now? Listen to me. Here's what's going on right now. If you've ever been by some of the places that are new developments, a lot of times when there's embankments up the side of, like I'm thinking when we first moved here, going down, they were taking Telegraph, L Street Telegraph, all the way out Otay Lakes, and they were building the road, the same thing out Olympic. You know, it was just, you know, a couple of lanes or one lane, then they began enlarging it to three lanes, and you see these embankments on the side. They've got these big, huge trucks now. And they've got fertilizer in them, and they've got seed in them. And so the big guy gets on the back of his truck, and the guy's driving, and the guy's with this big hose, you've probably seen it. And he's just, and he's putting this stuff, and it is fertilizer, it has got a sticky substance to it, and it's also got seed, and it shoots on the bank, and it sticks. And it goes into the soil, and it starts producing. This is what goes on every time you hear the Word. This is what goes on every time in church. You could call me Hoser. Pastor Hoser. Don't you dare call me that. No, I'm kidding. You call me whatever you want to call me. So if this is new to you, what goes on, and this is what continually happens in our life, seed gets sown. Seed gets sown. Here comes the seed. Come on, here comes the seed. What are we going to... Now the question is, what do we do with the seed? Where does the seed go? How does the seed affect me? Does the seed affect me? Then if you've been around and you've heard the seed and the seed hits you and the seed starts kind of germinating some, what the Bible says is the next time you hear it, you don't get new seed in that area. It's called watering. Watering process. So the seed you've already heard, it one time. If it's hit you and it's begin to take root and begin to germinate in your life, the next time you hear it, it's called watering. Let me ask you, is watering important? Look at the places around here that the water got shut off. The once fertile front yard looks brutal now. The water got shut off for whatever reason. If you shut off the water to your life, if you shut off your ears from hearing, your life is getting ready to be arid and dry. And it won't produce. So we found out last week that James said in his book, in chapter 1, he says, don't be a forgetful hearer. When you hear the word, don't be like the guy who goes away and forgets what kind of man he looked like. When you look at the word of God, the Bible says, when you open this word, it is like a mirror. And this word is going to talk to you about your life. And so when you read it, you're not reading it to prove yourself right. You're reading it to show you who you are and who God is. And so when you read it and it tells you, you know, I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. All things have become new. Then I can be that. And I'm going to read that. And I'm going to then go through my life. And I'm not going to turn away and forget what kind of guy I look like. I didn't wake up this morning and look in the mirror and go, my God, you look totally different. I went, you look like you did last night when I went to bed. Come on, everybody. So the same thing is with the Word of God. The Word of God is going to show you who you are. It's going to speak to you about what God's purpose is in your life. It's going to talk to you about destiny, but you cannot be a forgetful hearer, he says. You can't forget about it. You can't say, I heard the Word, and not go back, because you can't be stronger if you forget. You can't be strong if you forget. So we said this last week, but notice on the screen, what you hear, positively or negatively, determines what you see. What you hear spiritually, what you hear in life, determines how you see life. If you keep hearing trouble, darkness, Trump, Hillary, destitution, what we gonna do? Cray cray stuff. Our country's crazy. We're all gonna die. Yeah, if you hear that, how you see everything will be altered by what you keep hearing. What you hear and what you see is connected. Because what you hear and what you see filters through this thing right here called your heart. Called the soil of your life. Whatever you put in here, whatever you hear in abundance here, keeps producing. So let's all be real. If you're full of worry, hear me, you got worry in your heart. If you're full of racism, hear me, you got racism in your heart. If you're full of, I'm gonna kill somebody, road rage, you got road rage in your heart. And the Word of God will get it out. And the Word of God will help you get it out. Come on, everybody. Come on. Am I helping anybody today? Come on. Want to get stronger. Want to get stronger, right? Don't want to get weaker. Want to get stronger. So notice on the screen. Let's just give you 3 bullet points. We said this last week, that your life will keep changing to the degree that you hear, believe, and act on God's Word. Notice those 3 things. Your life will keep changing to the degree that you hear, believe, and act on God's Word. Those 3 things are vitally important. Hear, believe it, and then act on it. And we said this. So the number one question we've got to ask ourselves is, how can I put this into practice? How can I put this into practice? I've got to ask myself constantly, how can I put this into practice? How can I act on the Word of God? When I'm reading it, when I'm hearing, okay? Pastor Gary right now is talking about stronger. He's talking about stronger for the last 2 weeks. This is the third week. Maybe I ought to get a clue. Is there any area in my life that I'm weak? How can I get stronger? How can I do it? I'm going to hear the Word of God. I'm going to believe what God says. Now I'm going to act on it. So when ugly sister at work comes up to my cubicle and say, hey, you know, you ain't never going to get a job. You ain't never going to get a raise. You're going to be stuck here making $11 an hour for the rest of your life because nobody likes you, and I'm up above you, and I'm going to keep talking down to you, and you ain't getting ahead. You just go, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I'm praying for you, sister. You ain't going to mess with me. God's favor surrounds me like a shield. So get out of my cubicle, you crazy person. No, don't say that. Don't say that. But you can think it. But just don't say it. You can think it. So we said this, that God's Word contains everything you need to produce whatever you need. God's Word contains everything you need to produce whatever you need. One more time. God's Word contains everything you need to produce whatever you need. So what do you need? Whatever it is, you're going to find it in the Word of God. In the Word of God. So this parable that Jesus spoke of that we've been alluding to, Jesus called it the granddaddy of all parables in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And what he was telling us is that your heart is a soil that will produce whatever seed is placed in there. Your heart is a soil of the seed, whatever seed is placed in there. And so we found out in Mark chapter 4, and so let's just do a little quick review. If you've never read this before, Jesus is telling a parable. He's living in an agricultural society. People know everything about sowing and reaping. They know everything about the animals and productivity that way, and they know everything about the seed. And so he's using that right there, a real-life example where the people live and where the people are. So we talked about four types of soil. He said, number one, there's this soil called the wayside soil, where the enemy, he talked about first that the enemy would actually come by and eat it immediately, and then he began giving the explanation later to his disciples, and he talked about that the birds devoured it. The birds devoured it. So the seed got sown, but it was just by the wayside. It actually all got into their heart. All four types of seed made it to the person's heart. But listen to me, there's somebody trying to eat your seed. Oh, where I grew up, I don't see it around here. I don't know what happened when I was growing up and why it was different. And I guess because now, when anybody puts a lawn in, come on, they go and they put sod in. Come on, you know what I'm saying? The sod truck rolls up and they roll out the sod and boom, overnight, you got lawn. Come on, when I was growing up, it was called, in Tennessee, I remember, because I was 12 years old, everybody, it was clay. And so it was on top of the clay, they would have to beat up the clay because ain't no water going in the clay. I don't know if you know about clay. There is no water seepage going in clay. The dirt was red clay. And so the guys would come and they'd beat it up with this little machine, and then they'd come in with the topsoil. Come on, everybody. They put topsoil down. And then they would sow seed. And then know what they did? They put hay or straw on top of your yard. And that was to, number one, keep it from getting scorched by the heat and to supposedly hiding it from the birds. But how many know the birds wised up? And the birds were going, I see some straw, I ain't no cow, but there must be seed down there. And they would come in your yard, the birds would come in your yard, and they would eat the seed. They would take the seed, let's say it this way, out of the soil, they would take the seed out of your heart. Listen to me. Before you leave church today, there's going to be some crows trying to come into your heart and peck, peck, peck. Come on, like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. The birds. And they're going to try to get the seed out of your heart. Come on, so protect, come on, protect the seed. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, protect the seed. Come on, protect the seed, right? So the wayside soil. Jesus talked about another kind of soil called the stony soil. And he said this, and he talked about it in the parable, and he talked about that when tribulation or trouble, it's just a word for trouble, or persecution arises for the word's sake. And so he used it and talked about it, that it was scorched. It was scorched. It was scorched. The sun came up and pressure came down. Pressure came down. Pressure at work, pressure with your family, pressure economically, pressure, wherever there are pressure points. The other day, someone gave us a massage, and so I went and had a massage the other day. How many know massages are good and bad? Come on, somebody. They're good, like, oh, man, I'm thinking about massage. I mean, and then that girl gets it. I had this girl, and she was like Hitler's cousin, and she was like, whoa. She said, you want light, medium, or firm? I said, well, let's just kind of start with medium. And I kind of went halfway through. I thought about going down to light, but I was too much of a baby to say, light, please. Come on. I just went medium the whole way. And I was like, oh, my Lord God. Anyway, what we find is that when you're dealing with life, there's going to be some pressure points in your life. Pressure points where the word of God is sown, and you've got to identify those so that you bear fruit and it doesn't produce uselessness in any area of your life. I want the benefit of the massage. I want the benefit of the word working in my life. I don't want trouble to rise up and all of a sudden my life gets scorched. I don't have anything to show from it, because that's what he said. He said, there's going to be a fight trying to get the seed out of my life. And you too. All the time. Jesus then said that there's a third type of soil. Again, think with me. The soil is your heart. It's my heart. My heart can be wayside heart. The word sown, I go, got nothing to do with that. That God stuff, or that peace stuff, or that joy stuff, or that relationship stuff, or God loves me stuff. No, you don't know me. You don't. Boom. Word hit. Boom. Devil came down here. Boom. Got the seed. There it goes. Unproductive. Or I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. But then all of a sudden, somebody tells me something different. Somebody tells me something contrary. Somebody says, you know, challenges me in my faith. Tribulation, persecution. Boom. Seeds. Unproductive again. And third type, he talks about stony ground or weedy ground. And he says that it grows up for a while, but he says you got life issues. And listen to me, if you've been a Christian any length of time, this is your challenge right here. This is your challenge. Because Jesus said, the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, you need more money. You need to work more. You can't come to church. You can't have family time. You need to work more. You can't give. You need to work more. Deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things, you just need more. If you take a vacation to Cancun, your life is going to get better. No, you're going to get sunburned. You're going to get fat and come back here and be angry. Ain't nothing wrong with Cancun, but you better go to Cancun for the right motivation. I need a break. I want to hang out with my family. Go! Deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, cares of this life, just full of care. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Enter in and choke the word. Choke it. Look at the violentness that Jesus is saying is coming to you and me for the word. Devoured it. Scorched it. Choked it. Guys. Not many people, but a couple of people get eaten by sharks. Devoured it. Not much left. Scorched life. Just scorched. Burnt. I've been burnt so many times. I ain't going to believe. Nobody can believe in God. Ain't believe in nothing. We're choked. Everybody choked? Come on. Everybody choked? Anybody got come on. Any of you guys got like a cousin that choked? Come on. You choked you? Come on. Anybody got a crazy cousin? Yeah. Like, come here. Let me show you this move. I had one of those cousins. Come on, older cousins. Come on, somebody. Give it up if you're an older cousin. Come on, anybody choke? Yeah, come on. Yeah. But notice the violentness coming for the Word. It's all coming for the Word. Notice this. Devoured, scorched, and choked. Listen to me. That's trying to come to you. Trying to come to you. But Jesus actually said, your heart could be good soil. Come on, everybody. Thank God for that. Your heart can be good soil. Notice this word, though. You hear the word. Here's what he said. You hear the word. You hear the word. You hear the word. You accept the word. And you bear fruit. Notice it again. You hear the word. You accept the word. Listen to me. Challenge for people who have been in the game for a while. We quit accepting the validity of the word. You know why? Because you've got this thing now called experience, why it hasn't happened. I believe God for healing and get healed. I believe God for that new job. I got a new job. I believe God for peace in my life. I got like train wrecks running in my brain. I believe God for this to happen. It didn't happen. So now you've got negative experience. And when you hear the word, you hear it, but no longer do you accept it. Because you have graduated past Jesus. Can I tell you, as a pastor, you're on shaky ground. Because what's going on, and you don't know it, but a brother named Boa has just showed up in your life. And his name ain't Boaz, his name is Boa Constrictor. And Boa is in your house and he's choking you to death. And so you better shake yourself. And Boa can't bite you with venom, but Boa's trying to suffocate you and swallow you. Where you go through your life and you hear it, but it never makes your heart any longer because of some negative experience. You better grab Boa this afternoon and say, bro, come on, anybody ever see, what's my movie? Jungle Book, come on, Anaconda, come on, help me, Jesus. Come on. What was that freaky movie, the planes on a train, snakes on a train or a plane or, Jesus, I turned that on, let's shut that thing up and bound the devil. Ain't no snake going to be on my plane. Jungle Book. Come on. Anybody seen the Jungle Book? Yeah. Yeah, come on. And that crazy snake, man, trying to just lure you. Come on. You got to grab that snake and have a talk with him eyeball to eyeball. Right? I am going to believe the word. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to accept the word. Come on. I'm going to bear fruit in my life in this word. You got to believe it. You've got to accept it. Accept it. Another translation says you got to receive it. You got to receive it. And then you can bear fruit in it. So listen to me. Listen to me. This person that's been around a while. And you look at your life and you say, I'm not bearing much fruit. As your friend, I'm telling you, here's the reason. Here's the reason. My life. Here's the reason in my life right here. I've heard the word, but I've not accepted it as final authority. Final authority. It's my life. I don't care how old I am. I don't care what I'm not seeing. This is what I believe because this is what you said. Come on, talking to anybody in the room. Come on, challenging on a Sunday morning. Come on, everybody. Yeah, yeah. So how does this seed process work? Look with me to Mark chapter 4. Let's go there real quick. Mark chapter 4. How does the seed process work? How does it work? Notice what it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Jesus says this. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Notice that, scatter seed on the ground. He should sleep night and day. Sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself doesn't know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. Notice this. First the blade, then the head, then after that the full grain in the head. So listen, how does it work? Hear me. How does it work? What's he say? You don't know how. You do not know how. Nobody knows how. You do not know how. How can I believe God? How can I ask God for something going on in my life? How can I read the Word of God and believe God for peace? And how does peace come to me? I read it, but I don't really know how. I just know it works. You don't know how. But here's what he says. It's a process. It's a process. Sleep by night, rise by day. Sleep should sprout and grow. He doesn't know how. The blade, he says, then the head, then the full grain. Then the full grain. So listen to me. Your and my job isn't to figure out how. Your and my job is to believe it and accept it. Believe it and accept it. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to work. But I know one thing. We're called believers. Come on, everybody. We're called believers. Come on, any believers in the room? Just, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Now notice what he kept saying in Mark chapter 4, verse 30. The very next verse, verse 30. He said to them, what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what kind of parable are we going to picture it? It's like a mustard seed. When it's sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and it becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may come and nest under its shade. Notice this. What should I expect? Well, I should expect growth. That's what I should expect. It's smaller than all the seeds. Verse 32, though, says, when it's sown, when it reaches my heart, when it reaches your heart, it's going to grow up. It's going to become greater. It's not going to stay the same. It's going to become greater. And it's going to shoot out large branches. Large branches. So listen to me. We're not in this society like that, like they were. We don't live in the Midwest and we don't live in the valley where there's agriculture all the time. But here is the process that we all must understand is the same for everybody. We must think like farmers. Here's what a farmer thinks. A farmer thinks, I plant, I water, I weed, I feed. 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 This is all I do as a farmer. As a Christian, this is all I do. I plant the Word in my heart. I water the Word with my heart. I go back and I read it again and again and again. I make sure there's no crazy weeds trying to get in my heart. And I feed my heart. I feed my faith. I get in fellowship with other people. And we talk the Word and we pray the Word. And I come to church and I serve. Wow. I plant. I water. I weed and I feed. Jesus says it starts small, it grows up, it becomes greater, and it grows larger. I don't know how, but it brings shade to other people. So my life, your life, the Word hasn't reached maximum capacity yet until it goes large enough and it brings shade to other people, the power of the Word in your life. Now, again, just wrapping up. Notice on the screen just this thought. Heart matters matter. It's all about the soil. The seed always works. So listen to me. Your heart is the soil. So heart matters matter. If you've got issues in your heart, you've got hardness in your heart, you've got negativity in your heart, you've got bitterness in your heart, you've got jealousy in your heart, you've got rage in your heart, you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it will not produce the kind of seed or the return that you want. So heart matters matter. It's all about the seed. All about the seed. The seed will always work. If you put that seed in your life, if you put it in the soil of your heart, it is going to produce if you've got good soil. I've got to keep checking my heart. Is there unforgiveness in my heart? Is there comparison in my heart? Is there negativity in my heart? So listen, just wrapping up. How important is this thing called the Word? How important is this thing called the seed? Vitally important in every area of your life. Here in Proverbs 4, let's just wrap this up here this morning. In Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, and I'm going to read it with this phrase that we're talking about called the word and the seed. And let's just look at it here on the screen. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, Solomon's writing this, and he says, my son, give attention to my words, the word or the seed. Incline your ear to my sayings, the word or the seed. Do not let them, the word or the seed, depart from your eyes. Keep them, the word or the seed, in the midst of your heart. For they, the word and the seed, are life to those that find them, and the word and the seed is health to all their flesh. The word, the seed, is going to produce anything in your life. It's going to produce health in every area of your life. Emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, whatever it is. So how do you know? Listen, how do you know? How do you know when you kind of made that connection? How do you know? Well, number one, the real easy test is the real easy thing is that your life's changed, right? You're starting to bear fruit. Come on, you see anybody, you know, like even in preschool, we've given the kids those little plastic cups, put some soil in there, and put the seed in there, and put some water in there. Come on, y'all seen that? And they come home and they sit there looking at it, and all of a sudden, what happens with the seed? The seed goes down with the root before it goes up with the fruit. It always goes down before it goes up. Can I tell you something? When the Word of God comes in your life, there will always be a downturn before there's an upturn. Always. You can't let go on a downturn because it's going down and you can't see it. But if you have the Word of God in your heart and keep it there, it's going to be seen by you and everybody else. It's going to produce fruit in your life. Just real quick, wrap it up, really. John 1, Jesus said this, or it's spoken of Jesus in John 1, verse 14. It says this, and the Word became flesh. Y'all remember that? And the Word became flesh in John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh. Just that one phrase. The Word became flesh. Come on, say that with me, will you? And the Word became flesh. Just write that. The Word became flesh. And so, really, for the Christian, this is talking about the incarnate. This is the Son of God taking on fleshly, bodily form. God leaving heaven. This is this is incarnate. This is what we believe. God left heaven. The Word, which we found out, is Jesus. He took on flesh. He became a body. Now think with me. Look on the screen. Last two more things I'll say, honestly. Notice this on the screen. Is that you're going to take on the form. Show them there, guys, will you? You take on the form of what you have planted in your heart. Notice the Word became flesh. I'm not saying you're God. You're not. I'm not. No one is but Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Word became flesh. But you are going to take on the form of what you've planted in your heart. In other words, if you're battling peace and unrest and whatever, and you take the scriptures of peace and plant them in the heart, your life will take on the form of peace. If you take forgiveness, and you've been through divorce, and you've been neglected, and you've been abused, and by your mom and dad and crazy siblings and in the workplace, and you've gone through emotional trauma, you take the Word of forgiveness, you take the Word of joy, you take that and you plant that in the soil of your heart, and your heart will take on the form of what you've planted. This is how you experience transformation. Last thing, promise on the screen. Here it is. You become one with the Word. You become one with the Word. Guys, this is where all victory happens. All victory. You can't be shaken by it. You won't be moved by what you don't see. Time has no being with you. You won't be moved by the time factor because you know the seed produces by itself. When it's in my life, I sleep by night, I rise by day, I'm not getting stressed. The seed will sprout by itself. I don't know how. I do know I became one with that word, and that word, which is seed, made it to my heart. I will not let anything choke it. I will not let anything scorch it. I will not let anything devour it. And that seed is going to work in my life, and I am going to be fruitful. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord just a hand clap. Would you do that? Come on, stand up, everybody. Yeah. Come on, look at your neighbor with a little bit of swank, whatever that means, and say, I'm going to be fruitful. Come on, wave your head. Just waggle your head a little bit. I'm going to be fruitful. Yeah, I am. I'm going to be fruitful. Yeah. I'm going to be fruitful. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be fruitful. Anybody else? Come on, I'm going to be fruitful, right? Come on, I'm going to be fruitful. This is what I'm going to... So you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on. I'm going to be fruitful. Yeah. I'm going to produce fruit. I want my life to count. How about you? I want my life to count. Come on. Bow your head. Would you do that? Father God, today we just make some decisions right now in our own life to just that. I'm sure all of us, including me, even as I'm preaching, teaching, there's areas of my life. I want to bear fruit. So I know we hit some several tense points, like going through a massage, some of those ouch points that we got a knot. We got something out of joint. We got something that's tight that needs to be worked out. Father, I'm not a fool. I know that maybe it's not all going to get worked out today. Just like going to the massage therapist, they want you there every couple weeks. They want you there every week. Jesus, help us. But Father, we want you and the Word to keep coming and talking to us about areas where we're tight and we've got knots. Because we can't run fast. We can't jump high. We're limited because we're just bound in some areas. We can't be everything we're called to be. So today, just listen, here's this last word. We just keep hearing it over and over. I'm just sensing my heart one last time. We hear the word. We accept the word. Accept it. And we bear fruit. Come on, today the challenge for all of us is accept the word. Accept it. Accept it. Accept that Jesus loves you. Accept that He's forgiven you. Accept that He has a plan for you. Accept that He's called you to be productive. Accept that today. Welcome that in your life today. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're far away from Him, and maybe you've been to church before and you prayed, and maybe you grew up in a church and you were water baptized, or you were sprinkled, or maybe you came up and signed your name on a ledger, but today something different's going on in your heart. You say, I'm just ready to make a change and go in a new direction. We want to help you by inviting you to pray with us right now. We're all going to say this prayer, but if you specifically have never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, I'm asking you, if you mean this and pray in the sincerity of your own heart, right there where you're at, would you say it with me, everybody in the room? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now. In Jesus' name, I repent. I change my mind and I change my direction about who you are and who I am. I understand today you love me. So my response to that is I love you. Be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody. Let's give everybody a hand that prayed that today for the first time. Or maybe you got back on track today. Yeah. So if that's your first time you prayed that, or maybe you prayed that before, I'll be right down here after church. Come talk to me. There'll be some of the prayer partners down here that we always give you an opportunity to pray about anything going on in your life. We'd love to pray with you about anything happening that you need prayer on. Again, makes no difference if it's physical, financial, relational. God's interested in meeting you right where you're at. And He's got answers for all your questions. Amen. Hey, we love you. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. Bring someone with you to church next week. Grab a couple of those cards around or at the event center and be a bringer and an includer. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.